This is I've Done Too Much and Not Enough, written by Dizzy Dragonfly and read by Flower Parish. This is a Spider-Verse fic, rated for general audiences, featuring pre-relationship Margot Kess / Charlotte Weber. Summary: Charlie Weber and figuring out how to trust herself, take care of herself, and take care of everybody else.
If I trust in something else, then I don't need to trust myself. I've learned a lot since I began, but I think I was wiser then.
Charlie loved her city. She loved Queens. She loved the people. She loved her home. That's what she tried to remind herself every time another stranger yelled at her in the street when she was just trying to help. I love my city, and my city loves me. Hey, get out of here. You know how long it takes for those webs to come off? I'm not dealing with that again. For the most part, my city loves me. Today, she was taking a bit of a detour from her regular daily route, because she knew Mrs. Gonzalez came this way after grocery shopping and sometimes needed help balancing her groceries and her cane. Charlie could relate, especially when she had her crutches, because when she used them, she practically couldn't use her hands for anything else. But Charlie had been coming up with increasingly creative ways to help Mrs. Gonzalez with the groceries every week. Last week, she had found a stray shopping cart on one of her patrols, and so she brought it over with her to Mrs. Gonzalez's neighborhood, loaded the groceries up, and attached a web to the cart so it had come with her as she swung from building to building. She reinforced the cart with quite a bit of extra webbing as well so nothing would fall out. Hey, Sun Spider. Hi, Sun Spider. Hey, Sun Spider, you see that car accident on 133rd? Hi, Nate. Hey, Amber. Hey, Roy. Yeah, that was my last stop before here. Finally, she landed in front of Mrs. Gonzalez, who made a tiny intake of breath, but otherwise that was the only indication that she was surprised by a whole person jumping out of the sky in front of her. Mrs. Gonzalez rolled her eyes a little before asking, "Must you make such a dramatic entrance every time? I know you're coming. I have no idea how you found out my schedule, but I do that at least." Charlie just grinned under her mask, which Mrs. Gonzalez wouldn't be able to see, but she was sure she could sense by the way she huffed a little laugh and handed over her grocery bags. "You know, I really don't mind taking them over myself. It's only a few blocks." I know, but it's certainly nice to have a little help now and again if you could use it." Mrs. Gonzalez gave her a little bit of a look at that, and Charlie wasn't quite sure what it meant. She kept working on webbing Mrs. Gonzalez's groceries to her chest, securing them so they wouldn't fall out while she was swinging, when Mrs. Gonzalez spoke again. "Are you taking your own advice about that, dear?" "Huh? Oh." Charlie paused what she was doing. She hadn't expected the question. Yeah, I get help, but, you know, I'm Sun Spider, so I don't really need too much." Charlie let off a little bit of a forced chuckle at the end, but Mrs. Gonzalez just raised an eyebrow. "If you say so, dear. I just want to make sure that you know that being some superhero doesn't exempt you from needing help yourself. In fact, I think it means you probably need more of it." Charlie didn't know what to say to that, but thankfully, Mrs. Gonzalez had dropped the topic of conversation there. She finished up securing the groceries, gave Mrs. Gonzalez a little salute with her right crutch, which probably looked a little ridiculous, but she knew Mrs. Gonzalez would appreciate it. Sure enough, the woman let out another laugh and just shooed Charlie off with the groceries. The rest of her patrol went smoothly. She dropped the groceries off at Mrs. Gonzalez's doorstep, who only let her go after promising to come by more often, not just to help with the groceries, but to try some of her granddaughter's world-famous, or possibly just Forest Hills-famous, rhubarb pie. She spent the rest of her patrol hours doing the usual, stopping another car accident that would have been bad, helping to clear out Mr. Singh's garbage from his driveway after the raccoons got into it overnight, shot a web over the mouth of a cat caller in Midtown. That'll take at least 4 hours to dissolve. Serves him right. And finished out the day with a free slice of pizza from Jonathan as payment for watching his daughter for a few minutes while he ran into the store, and that left her only a few blocks down from her place. All in all, it was a mostly productive use of 3 hours after school, she thought. Usually, she only patrolled every other weekday, and one weekend day, usually into the night as well, but lately she'd been taking on an extra night. It was nice to have a patrol without any major disasters, without anyone getting hurt, without... Help! Somebody help me! Never mind. No rest for the wicked, she supposed. Or the spider-powered, apparently. She was gonna feel this tomorrow. Charlie woke up to her alarm blaring in her ears and winced at the sound. God, why did they have to make that sound so obnoxious? She ignored the fact that she, in fact, was the one who had chosen that particular alarm from her phone. Charlie shut the alarm off and tried to get her thoughts together while her brain was still hazy and resisting her efforts to be awake. What time was it even? Wait, shit. It was prom today. Charlie had to finish sewing her skirt. With a groan, she pulled herself out of bed and went looking for her compression tights. Now, where did that four-legged freak... I only wanted Charlotte to see what freedom these legs could give her. During a crisis, no one thought about me. We see you, Charlotte Weber. We have watched you all day, living this balanced life of student, spider, and friend. We believe you are ready. The Spider-Verse needs your help, Sun Spider. Prom hadn't gone as planned. But this might just make up for it. You like it? There was a humorous note to the question, and Charlie glanced back at, shit, she already forgot her name, one of the spider women, and she nodded. She didn't know how to say she more than just liked it. She thought she might be in heaven. The thought had occurred to her at some point between swinging through the portal and being led to the main lobby that she might be dreaming, but she dismissed it pretty quickly. She never had good dreams anymore. The Spider Society was better than anything she could have possibly imagined on her own, and that was how she knew it was real. There must have been over 100 spider people just in her line of vision alone. There were hundreds of spider people just like her. Charlie was far too practical to wish for something like that, even in her wildest dreams. Come on, we'll introduce you to some people. The two of them started walking fast, not checking to see if she was still behind them. Charlie switched her gait with her crutches, placing them both down in front of her at once and hopping through, instead of her normal two-point gait, just to keep up with them. They led her through lounges and training rooms and meeting rooms and anomaly containment cells. It felt like every time she thought she must have seen everything, there was a whole new area to explore. Finally, they reached the end of the tour, back at the lobby they'd started in, and Charlie let out a subtle breath of relief. Her joints were aching, and her breaths were getting heavier. She longed for her chair, and with a start, she realized it was still at Midtown. Shit, she hadn't even told anyone she was leaving. she would be facing a hell of an interrogation from Glory and Angelica when she got home. And that wasn't even to mention how worried Cam must be by now. She spotted a group of spider people over to her left, and she was immediately intrigued. One of them looked out of place in the group, or even just the whole society. He had vibrant colors and was all sharp edges. He even moved differently than the rest of them. It almost hurt Charlie's eyes to look that way for too long. Was his whole universe like that? That was so fucking cool. "Who's that?" she asked the spider people that showed her around, pointing one of her crutches in his direction. They looked back at her. She thought she might have interrupted their conversation, but oh well. There was nothing to be done about it now. They each glanced over at where she pointed. "Oh, hem, that's Hobie Brown. He's probably not the best example for you to be looking to. He's..." She seemed to be struggling for what to say here. "He's not so much of a team player." Charlie looked back at the spider person, Hobie, and wondered what he'd done to make their faces pinch up like that, and whether or not the reaction was earned. She dropped the subject, though, because it was clear they weren't going to be receptive to it, and resolved to do some more investigating on her own. She said her goodbyes quickly and fiddled with her new watch until she figured out how to get home, marveling at the technology as she did so. Part of her wanted to take it apart to see how it worked, but she was worried that she wouldn't be able to put it back together again if she did. She opened the portal and did her best not to get nauseous as she sailed through it. That was a really weird sensation. She really hoped she'd get used to it eventually. Before she knew it, she was back at Midtown as if she'd never left, except now it was fully dark outside. Fuck. Charlie booked it to where she'd last left her wheelchair and found the spot empty. Okay, this was fine. She just had to... wait. Her locker door was open a crack. She was sure she'd closed it, but... She walked over to the door and tentatively cracked it open further. After the day she'd had, she was half expecting something to jump out at her. But there was nothing there, just her favorite spider robot transformer wheelchair. "Oh, smart spider bot," she muttered to it, as if she was talking to a puppy, and the spider crawled out of the locker and reassembled itself into her regular civilian wheelchair. Charlie felt a little sting in her eyes, but she refused to let herself cry over a robot she'd programmed herself, so she just folded down and unloaded her crutches into the back and sat down, instantly feeling the relief in her whole body after being upright for far too long. Now she just had to make her way back to the apartment and hope Cam didn't already file a missing persons report while she was gone. Charlie slowed down after she got out of the elevator and made her way down the hall to the apartment. She wasn't anxious around Cam anymore. Cam had been fostering her for years now, and they were pretty comfortable around each other by this point. But Cam didn't know about Sunspider. No one did. And Charlie didn't know how she was supposed to explain where she had been until... Charlie grimaced as she took out her phone. 1 in the morning. It didn't help that she was exhausted, and her brain felt too fuzzy to come up with a proper excuse. But delaying was only going to make it take longer for her to finally get to her bed. So, with a sigh, she opened the door and resolved to get this over with. "Charlie!" Charlie was immediately swept up into a hug that had Cam in what had to be a really awkward position, leaning over her chair. But they didn't seem to mind and kept holding on to her. She stayed stiff at first, her brain not wanting to process any new information after the day she'd had, but eventually, her body and brain caught up to each other, and Charlie melted into the hug. It was nice to let someone else carry the weight for a while. Eventually, Cam pulled back just enough to look at Charlie, keeping their hands on her shoulders. "Where the hell were you? I called Gloria, Angelica, and Aster. I called the school. I called your teacher's cell. Wait, how do you have..." Cam paid no mind to the interruption and kept going. I called Gloria's mom, who wants you to come over there more often, by the way. She said she feels like she hardly sees you anymore. But nobody could tell me where you were. And then I get a notification that there was a supervillain attack at your school. Cam seemed to be working themselves up even more as they kept talking, and Charlie figured it was time to cut in. It wasn't a supervillain. I'm okay. Everything's fine. Charlie put her hands on Cam's elbows to try to get her point across. Cam visibly took some deep breaths and gently squeezed Charlie's shoulders one last time before finally letting go. They were calming down a little bit, but Charlie knew she wasn't going to get out of the conversation that easily. Where were you? And there it was, point blank. Charlie had excuses she could usually give for patrol as Sunspider. After school clubs, Charlie had quit chamber choir months ago, but Cam didn't need to know that. Or hanging out with friends. She had to be careful about this one. Cam had all her closest friends' parents' phone numbers. Or sometimes she just said that she stayed late after school to study for a test. She didn't use that one too often, because Cam knew she didn't usually need to study all that much, but sometimes she'd done it before for AP English Lit, so it wasn't entirely out of the realm of possibility. Now, however, she had no clue how to justify this. None of those excuses would work until 1 in the morning. Well, the dance went kinda late, and there was the whole attack thing. It wasn't a supervillain. It was just some entitled kid who had the money to make robotic limbs and wanted to make a mess or everything. But, I was kind of shaken up by the whole thing. They forgot about me in the evacuation. That part was true. A bit of the sting had faded with all the cool things she got to see after that, but it was still upsetting to think about. She knew she was safe. She was Sunspider. She took the villain down. But no one else knew that. She was sick of being left behind and forgotten about. But that wasn't the point. I just needed some time to calm down after. I wanted to be alone, and I lost track of time. I'm sorry for worrying you. Charlie looked down at the floor for the last part. She was sorry for worrying Cam. She had always been careful to have a good excuse for Sunspider, something that wouldn't make Cam worry the way they were now, and now her trip to the Spider Society messed all of that up. Cam's eyes softened, though, and Charlie knew she was going to be let off the hook. That didn't do anything to soothe the guilty pit in her stomach, however. All right, I understand. Just please remember to let me know where you are next time, okay? Charlie nodded. And first thing Monday morning, I'm going to be calling the office to have a talk about their priorities. There was a bit of steel that entered Cam's voice there, and it reminded Charlie that they could be relentless when they felt they needed to be. They weren't a good person to make an enemy out of, especially not a school system. Cam knew the ins and outs of the New York public school system well enough to make a physics teacher cry. Charlie had seen it happen. Cam squeezed her shoulder one more time and got to their feet. We can talk more in the morning, but you look like you could fall asleep at any moment. That was probably true. She certainly felt like it. Go get some rest. Charlie mumbled in agreement and headed to her room, calling out a quick, good night, before closing the door. She let out a breath as soon as she closed the door. Maybe she hadn't been lying earlier. Maybe she really did need some time alone after today. She just hadn't had it. After going through the motions of her bedtime routine on autopilot, she laid in her bed staring at the brand new watch on her wrist in the dim light coming from her lamp. She didn't quite know what all this meant. She'd been a little distracted on the tour with all the cool things there was to see, but she had a feeling her life was going to have another big overhaul. It seemed like a cool change. Charlie was just getting tired of all these major life changes with no warning. The last one she'd had was the spider bite, and things were finally starting to feel normal again for her. Charlie spent the next week desperately trying to convince Glory and Angelica that she was perfectly fine without being able to tell them where she actually was that night. You disappeared completely, without your chair, after we got attacked by a supervillain. Not a supervillain, Charlie muttered under her breath. But Angelica kept talking as if she hadn't heard her. So forgive us for being a little worried about our friend. Yeah, fine, that wasn't a bad point. But still, you guys, I just had a moment, but I promise I'm fine now. She held out her pinky to make sure they knew she was completely, 100% serious. Angelica rolled her eyes at the gesture. What, are we in kindergarten now? But she interlocked her finger with Charlie's anyway and reiterated, but you better be okay for real, because we take care of each other, and we can't do that if you lie to us. Charlie nodded and looked Angelica in the eyes, and then Glory, before saying, I promise. She didn't know whether it was a lie or not, but the guilt that had been weighing her down since last week only grew heavier. Shoot, swing, shoot, swing, flip, shoot, swing, 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 shoot. The web falls, slips, shoot again, slips again, shoot, shoot, shoot. Charlie's falling. Her webs can't catch her. Nobody's going to catch her. She's alone and she's going to die. Charlie braces herself. She doesn't hit the ground. She's underwater. She's swimming against the current. The waves keep coming. She's pushed further and further down. There's a watch on her wrist. Why is there a watch on her wrist? Charlie woke up gasping for air she was certain she wasn't going to get. But she did, and it shot into her lungs so fast she almost choked on it. She spent her first few moments awake alternating between gasping breaths and hacking coughs when she breathed in too deeply, but eventually she wrestled her body under control. Her breathing slowed, and she leaned back against her headboard, exhausted. She didn't have time to be exhausted, though. She had calculus first thing this morning, and training after school. She would have to patrol Queens later at night again tonight. Charlie loved her friends more than anything, really, but it could get really hard to talk to them on nights like tonight. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know I was going to go out with you guys tonight, but I really think I've got to go to bed early. Sorry about messing up our plans. Glory and Angelica reassured her from the other line that it was fine. They understood. They'd see her on Monday. But Charlie still felt a pit in her stomach anyway. She hated having to cancel on them. She loved how understanding they were, how they never seemed to hold it against her, but she wished they didn't have to be. And sometimes, when she was at her lowest, she wondered if maybe they did resent her for it. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair that she canceled plans that she made weeks ago, and it wasn't fair that they had to pretend it didn't suck, and it wasn't fair that she was lying to them about a major part of her life when they'd done nothing but prove themselves trustworthy over the course of their whole friendship. It wasn't fair. Charlie sighed and flopped back down on her bed. She didn't have the energy to be sitting upright right now anyway. Everything hurt, and she was tired, and she couldn't even rest without feeling like shit for doing it. Patrolling after school had taken more out of her today than she expected it to. It was her own fault, really. She stayed out too long, even though she knew she was going out with the girls tonight, and now her body was punishing her for it. There was just always so much to do. There were always so many people that needed her help as Sunspider, especially since she'd been taking more time out of patrol for training, and making up for it made her push past her limits even when she knew how much of a bad idea it would be. There was some little part of her brain that whispered that maybe this time it'll be different. It never was. And so, Charlie would always find herself in a flare-up for days after pushing herself too hard, too tired even for her commitments as regular Charlie Weber, and she couldn't even tell the people closest to her why. Not the real reason why, at least. Not why she had to push herself so much and ended up in this state. She couldn't tell them about the screams she heard sometimes at night, the way her enhanced hearing would jar her out of a restless sleep when a woman two alleys down was being mugged, or the way she was on edge all the time in her classes, straining her ears at every loud sound she could pick up through the windows. The reasons why she pushed herself to the brink of exhaustion so much. There was nothing to do. She didn't know how to stop. She couldn't stop. Didn't want to. It wouldn't be fair to New York for her to stop. It wasn't fair for her to keep going when she was hurting herself. But she was only one person, and the city needed her. They needed Sunspider. When she was Sunspider, they looked at her and they saw her, even though she was wearing a mask. They saw there was a person behind the mask and crutches. She couldn't always say the same about how people looked at her as Charlie Weber. She felt her watch buzz on her wrist, and she groaned. Please, not another surprise training session. If she didn't let herself rest, she was just going to keep getting worse. Looking at the message, it was exactly what she thought it was. Charlie sighed. At least she'd bring the chair today and try to keep swinging to a minimum. Oh my god, seriously? How did that even work? Yup, took the fucker's head clean off. Hobie nodded to himself, and Charlie was in awe, just a little bit. Sick. She nodded her head approvingly. She didn't kill his Sunspider, and most spider people around her seemed not to, but it was becoming incredibly clear to her that her world was very different from Hobie's. They were sitting on top of a building in his universe, with some of his friends talking amongst themselves off to the side. He'd introduced them to her earlier, but she only remembered that one of them was named Riri, and another one was Cap. Clearly a nickname, but she had been so distracted by the entire new world when they'd been introduced, so Cap was all she remembered. She originally had come over to help defeat an anomaly from her own universe. That was a first for her. But they had been taken down pretty easily, and now they had some time to chill before they had to report in. Well, before they were too late to report in. A little bit of fashionable lateness never hurt anyone, right? This is Margot. You probably won't see her in the field as much, but she's integral to having our missions running smoothly. Charlie looked over to where they indicated, and there was a hologram, black girl with the coolest spider suit she'd seen out of anybody there. She was intensely focused on the monitors in front of her, and the spider person leading Charlie through her first training session tried to usher her away, but she waved them off and walked forward to see what she was working on more closely. From what Charlie could tell, she was looking at the schematics for the anomaly containment cells. They each took a massive amount of energy to produce, and not for the first time, Charlie considered how impressive Dimension 2099's power grid must be to keep up with it all. Not to mention the insane technological feats she saw outside the windows of HQ. One of these days, she was going to have to go exploring and talk to some people around here about their transport system. I think the cells should be a little bit farther apart and self-contained to minimize the risk of energy bleed over and overloading from pressure on both sides. Charlie was speaking before her brain caught up with where she was and what she was saying. Sorry, you probably knew that. You clearly know what you're doing. Charlie didn't look up to make eye contact with Margot, too embarrassed and worried about what she might see in her face if she did, but she forgot her worries when she caught a glance at the other monitor over Margot's shoulder. Holy shit, did you make that? The designs were there for dozens upon dozens of different settings to change the chemical construction of web fluid after it was already fired. It could solidify the web to become longer-term binding for a villain, or it could make it dissolve immediately with only the press of a button. The chemical composition of a basic web fluid was already something that took Charlie forever to figure out, but to be able to change it like this once the web was released... Margot cleared her throat behind her, and abruptly, Charlie realized she was leaning over the monitor, scrolling through the formulas and schematics. Immediately, she took her hands off the screen and backed up, clenching her hands on the handles of her crutches to remind herself not to touch anything else without asking. Sorry. Margot laughed. It's all right. Yeah, I made those. They're so helpful when you don't have time to change web combos in the middle of a battle. I don't have much use for them myself, but some people around here swear by them. Awesome, Charlie breathed. She was marveling at the society now, just like she had weeks ago, her first time here. You want me to show you around my own little corner of headquarters? Absolutely. Charlie was exhausted again. It kept getting worse. She kept making it worse. It was the kind of exhaustion she hated, the kind that sunk into your bones and weighed you down from one day to the next, with sleep barely doing anything to take the edge off. It was more than just the effects of a long day. It was long day after long day after long day, and there was nobody who understood. Sometimes she didn't even feel like there was anyone who would care, or at least try to understand. She knew that wasn't true. She knew lots of people cared about her, but sometimes her brain didn't want to believe it. But even with them, she didn't want to make them convince her of it. She didn't want to be more of a burden to them than she already was, and she certainly didn't want pity from them. There might be one person who she could count on not to pity her, though. Letting out a shaky breath, Charlie sat up from her bed and typed in the right coordinates on her watch before she could talk herself out of it. Hobie, are you in here? Charlie had remembered where his base of operation was, where he and his friends got most of their superhero stuff together. But she hadn't considered that if it was evening in her New York, it was the middle of the night for him in New London. She wasn't just dimension traveling to get to Hobie, she was traveling across time zones. And he was probably asleep somewhere. Not in this weird maze of a base of operations that she was slowly starting to realize she was absolutely lost in. God, this was a stupid idea in the first place. Why hadn't she let herself talk herself out of it again? Hey, who are you? What are you doing here? Shit. There was someone jogging up to her, holding some kind of weapon she couldn't quite see in the dark, despite her enhanced vision. This was not good. This was not good. This was not good. Was she still wearing her mask? Charlie reached up to touch her face just to make sure, bringing her right crutch along with her as she did so. It was there. Okay. Good. Okay. Hey, drop the gun! Wait, what? Charlie swiveled around to try to see someone with a gun that her spider sense somehow hadn't told her about, but there was nothing. She looked down at her crutch that was still raised in the air in front of her. Seriously? Hey, wait. She put her crutch down and rested her forearm back in its normal position, and the other person slowly started getting closer with a flashlight pointed at her. She squinted at the light in her eyes, but didn't risk raising her hand again. I don't have a gun, it's just my crutches. Can you just chill with the light for a second? That was giving her a headache. Jesus fuck, what had she gotten herself into over here? The man walked closer until Charlie could finally see him more clearly. She could tell he recognized her in the same moment that she recognized him. Charlie? Cap? What the hell are you doing here? I just wanted to see Hobie. I forgot that it was the middle of the night over here, and then I got lost, and do you even understand how confusing this place is? Charlie was out of breath by the time she was done with how quickly she'd been talking. She and Cap made eye contact, and they both started laughing at the same time. Charlie would have been doubled over if it weren't for her crutches. It wasn't even that funny, but after the day, night, she'd been having, she thought she might be getting hysterical. It was just one thing after another, and the relief of finally finding someone who knew her, who could help her, was finally sending her over the edge. It took several minutes for Charlie to compose herself enough to straighten up and look Cap in the eye again. He'd been much quicker to compose himself, but she supposed her laughter was contagious, even if the joke wasn't that funny, because she could have sworn she heard him still snickering. He spoke first. Hobie's here, actually. He's been up all night building something, and I've been... well, mostly distracting him, but I like to think of it as helping. I came out here to investigate when something tripped the sensors. Oh, damn. She hadn't even noticed that she'd tripped any sensors. She must really be off her game today. Her spider sense would usually warn her about something like that. Maybe it knew that Hobie's security system obviously wasn't a threat to her. In fact, it actually helped her, in this case. Where was the alarm, though? Must be a pretty sick system, knowing Hobie. She wondered if she could take a look at the mechanics of it all sometime. It must be something hidden, maybe invisible. Charlie realized she was lost in thought, staring at the space behind Cap's shoulder, when he cleared his throat and spoke again after she'd been silent for who knew how long. Do you want me to take you to him? He looked a bit worried about her, and she wanted to tell him she was fine, but technically he hadn't asked, and that would probably just make her sound even more not fine if she brought it up. So in the end, she just nodded her head and started walking along with him. She was starting to feel stuffy in her mask, and he already knew who she was anyway, so she took it off and stuffed it in her pocket. Even if he hadn't, it wasn't really like anyone in this universe would recognize her anyway. Now that they were heading towards Hobie's office, workshop, superhero lair, Charlie's anxieties were coming back full force. She shouldn't have come here. There's no backing out now, Weber, so pull yourself together. Whoa, this stuff is awesome! Charlie let her eyes run all over the materials Hobie had spread out that he was working with. Wait a minute, is that from the Spider Society? Hobie just gave her a smirk and put his finger over his lips to indicate it was a secret. What the Society doesn't know won't hurt them. Charlie nodded sagely, wanting to ask a million questions, but instead just accepting the answer for what it was. She wasn't sure if she even should know about something like this, and she figured the less she knew was probably for the better. She watched Hobie work for a little while, sitting on the side of the chair he was using for his work. They had offered her a chair, but she preferred sitting up here anyway. After about 10 minutes had passed in comfortable silence, Hobie put down the tools, leaning back in his chair and looking up at her. So, what's the real reason you're here? Because I know it's not just to watch me work, fascinating as that must be. He folded his arms behind his head and gave her an expectant look, and she cursed in her head. She had been hoping maybe they could just dance around the issue, pretend everything was totally fine. She should have known that had never been Hobie's style. It's, and no going saying it's nothing. You wouldn't be here all of a sudden if it was nothing, especially not with that look on your face. What look on my face? There's no look on my face. This is just my face. Yeah, that didn't even sound convincing to her own ears. And from the look on Hobie's face, he clearly didn't buy it. I don't know. I really don't, she added when he raised an eyebrow. It's just, I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I should be doing fine and managing everything fine and being a part of the Spider Society just like everyone else, and I'm just not. She started digging her fingers into her thigh as she was speaking, trying to relieve some of the pressure on her brain by applying it elsewhere, maybe. She caught herself doing it and stopped, folding her arms and gently squeezing each side with her other hand. Get it together, get it together, get it together. She took a deep breath before she spoke again. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't be everywhere all at once, and I can't do everything all of the time, and I always feel like everyone is mad at me because they need me to do more, and I can't do more, I can't. She started breathing heavier and talking faster, but she refused to let herself fall apart completely. That was not an option. Get it together, keep it together. She took a deep breath and started over. I just thought that the society would be different than it is. Somehow. I don't know. You know when we caught that anomaly last week? She turned to Hobie, and he nodded. I just felt off the whole time. It felt like there was something wrong about it to me, and I can't turn that feeling off, and I don't know what's wrong with me. The anomaly had been another one from her home dimension, which must have made her naturally more curious about it. It was a Sandman variant, her Sandman variant, and this was her first and only time meeting him. He hadn't even wanted to be there. He just wanted to go home. Charlie couldn't get the look in his eyes out of her head. Sometimes, in her dreams, she found herself crushed under metric tons of sand, and she kept swimming towards the top, but she never made it there. She always woke up with the phantom feeling of sand in her lungs. "You get that all out of your system now?" Charlie flinched a little when he spoke. She had almost forgotten where she was entirely. All the nights of bad sleep in a row might be getting to her. No, not really. She wasn't sure she'd ever be able to get it all out of her system, even if she tried. "Yeah." Hobie nodded, almost as if it was just to himself, like he was deciding what to do. Eventually, he got up from his chair and came over to sit next to Charlie on the table. She watched both their legs swinging a little from where they sat. His weren't quite reaching the floor, even though he was quite a bit taller than her. She couldn't look up at him. She was too embarrassed that she couldn't just keep her shit together. And now she was here, dumping all of her problems on him when, of course, there's not something wrong with you. Charlie let out a little self-deprecating chuckle at that. Of course there was. There were so many things wrong with her. She didn't seem to need to voice the thought for Hobie to know what she was thinking, though. She wondered if she really was just that obvious with everything she was thinking written right on her face, or if he just had some way to read her mind. "There isn't. I can't tell you what the right thing to do is." He wasn't looking at her now. He was just staring straight ahead as he spoke. It made her feel a little bit better. The lack of eye contact made her feel a little less trapped. "I can tell you, though, that you need to trust yourself." She glanced over at him, a little confused about where he was going with it, but he didn't react. "You need to trust that feeling in your gut, even if you don't quite know what it means yet. It's trying to tell you something." "How am I supposed to know what it's trying to tell me?" Hobie just shrugged. "You figure that part out eventually. The important thing is that when you do, you listen." He said it like it was so easy. Charlie didn't think anything about their lives was going to be as easy as that, though. She could never do anything without disappointing at least someone. Her days kept passing by in an exhausted haze of patrols, classes, training at HQ, half-finished homework, and anxious thoughts that she pushed down because she didn't have time for them. The nightmares never stopped. Charlie would have taken Hobie's advice if she knew how. She really would have. But she'd never been very good at trusting herself, not when there was almost always someone, or everyone, denying her reality. It had been different, as Sunspider, for a while. But at the society, they all seemed so sure that what they're doing is right. She has to believe them. She's not sure what she'll do if she doesn't. Besides, it's training day, and she doesn't have time for doubts in the field. Doubts, hesitation, those are the kinds of things that could get you, your teammates, or a civilian killed in a battle. She swung across the training room pillars and cleared her mind of everything that wasn't the present moment. This was her first time training with a proper team, and she wasn't going to fuck this up. Margot was on her team. She didn't tend to spend a lot of time out in the field compared to the rest of them, but Jessica had thought the two of them might be able to make a good team with each of their combined skill sets, so now they were putting that theory to the test. Charlie's spider drone was rigged from her chair to confuse their opponents' spider senses. Sparring partners, but for these purposes, they were opponents. And Margot was providing the visual distractions they needed to put the plan into motion. With their combined efforts, the two spiders on the other side would be blasted with realistic holograms and a real attack, enough of a threat to ping their senses and make them believe it was real. Meanwhile, the real Charlie and Margot, as real as Margot ever appeared in this dimension anyway, were able to swing in from behind with the element of surprise Charlie had never been able to master with other spider people. As the buzzer ran out and the simulation finished, Charlie let a little hysterical laugh bubble out of her chest as she walked over to Margot. "You had some good moves out there, Weber." Charlie still had a bit of a giggle in her throat when Margot started talking, but she abruptly cleared her throat. Right, she wanted to seem professional. She wanted to seem like she knew what she was doing, especially around Margot. And Margot had just complimented her, and now Charlie was standing there awkwardly, like an idiot. Say something. Huh, yeah, thanks. Really couldn't have done it without you, though. We make a good team. Oh my god, really? Useless. Entirely useless at talking to pretty girls. Why do you sound so awkward? She's so fucking cool and you're blowing it. We do. I'll see you around sometime. Charlie was nodding vigorously before Margot even finished the question, and she had to remind herself to chill. Yeah, definitely. I'll see you around. Charlie made her way out before she could embarrass herself any further. God, she was so bad at this. Why could she act like a normal human being around literally anyone else? Apparently, as soon as a pretty girl looked at her, though, she was done for. Shit. Charlie's brain was made up entirely of any swear words she could think of as she raced down the hallway as fast as she could in her crutches. Charlie! Oh, thank God! Cam rushed up and hugged her as soon as she came in the door. Charlie startled and quickly slid her spider suit gloves off, putting them in her pockets before hugging them back. It was incredibly similar to how she'd come home after prom, and Charlie knew Cam was going to be worried that this was becoming a habit. It's 2 a.m. Where have you been? Charlie winced. She hadn't realized she'd been out that long. Patrol after training was one emergency after another, and she barely had time to take a breath. And after that, she realized she'd forgotten to help with Miss Gonzalez's groceries last week, so she had to make sure she was there today. And eventually, she realized the moon was way higher in the sky than she expected it to be, and she came racing home. Sorry, Cam. She didn't know what to say. She'd expected Cam to already be asleep by now. Had they been waiting up for her on the couch all night? What was she supposed to say? What did regular teenagers say in these situations? She was at a party, maybe. Cam wouldn't be thrilled, but that's normal teenage behavior, right? It wouldn't be too worrying. Probably. Cam released her from the hug finally, and there was a moment before they looked at each other in silence. I'm really sorry. I was out at Angelica's party and I completely lost track of time. I swear I didn't mean to be out so long. I never wanted you to worry. It was all true, just not the actual party part. Cam was still just looking at her, and Charlie squirmed a little uncomfortably under the pressure. Charlie, what's going on? What's really going on with you? I know you're not telling me everything. You haven't been for months, and that was fine at first. I wanted to give you your space. I wanted you to be able to talk to me when you were ready. I didn't want you to feel like you weren't trusted. But this has been going on for too long now. It's only getting worse. You're barely ever here. And I don't know where you are. I don't even know whose parents to call anymore, or if there's anyone's parents I can call. I have no idea where you've been going off to. I have no idea why you've been putting yourself under this kind of stress. I can see it wearing you down. And I can't help you if you won't talk to me. Cam was practically pleading on the last words. Charlie wished she could. She really fucking wished that she could. She wished she could tell Cam all of it, everything she told Hobie, everything she didn't tell Hobie, everything she wanted to scream and cry and rage about, but she didn't, because there were classes to go to, and people to save, and spider people to probably disappoint, eventually. She wished she could do what she did when she was 10, slowly learned to trust Cam with her problems, and watch as they took each weight off her shoulders one by one. She used to believe that Cam was magic, that they could fix anything. But then she grew up, and she knows now how dangerous it is to share your burdens, especially with people who can't protect themselves. This was her own burden to bear, and if she couldn't protect her own family from it, then what was even the point? Charlie curled up into herself where she was standing. She couldn't tell Cam. She couldn't. I'm sorry, she whispered again, staring at her feet. Cam sighed, and Charlie hated herself for how she was letting her problems affect the people around her, and Charlie hated herself for how she was letting her problems affect the people around her. She hated this. She hated it. She hated it. It had been 2 weeks since that conversation with Cam, and 2 weeks since she'd been required to check in with Cam every 2 hours while out, via phone call or text message. Somehow, now, that was all she could manage to think about as she joined the Spider Society in a chase through the whole HQ to find Miles Morales. "I can't call through dimensions. I'm so fucking dead." The panic of that statement kept her from examining the uncomfortable feeling in her chest, brought about by fighting a kid her own age who was just trying to save his dad. Wouldn't Charlie do the same thing if she were him? But she couldn't think about that. She couldn't think about that. She couldn't stop thinking about it. All of Charlie's worst fears about the society were crashing into her like a freight train as she watched the chase continue, as she watched Miguel O'Hara call a 15-year-old kid a mistake. This wasn't what she thought she'd been signing up for. She didn't know what to do about this. She didn't know who she was supposed to listen to. Her breaths started getting heavier as her thoughts spiraled further and further downwards. She'd pushed past her every hesitation about the society, every lingering doubt and gut feeling that this was wrong, because she thought that this was a way she could help people, with people who understood her. But this wasn't what she needed it to be. This wasn't the way to help people, not when it came at this kind of cost. Hobie was right. She should have listened to her gut. She should have trusted herself when she knew something was wrong. She should have tried harder to figure out what it was. Miles was right, too. Spider-Man always does both, and if he can't, he sure as shit fucking tries. Charlie slipped out without being noticed. That was the good thing about taking the chair. She was below most of their eyesight, and it made it easier for her to get by unnoticed. She normally wouldn't consider that a good thing in her day-to-day life, but it had its useful moments. She didn't know what to do, but she knew she had to do something. And she was going to. She was done waiting for an opportunity. Charlie frantically tried to ping Hobie's watch, pressing the button on her own over and over again, even though she knew that's not how it worked when she remembered. Hobie quit. He didn't have a watch anymore. God, Hobie quit. That should have been her first sign that this really wasn't right. She hadn't even been there when everything happened at first, but she should have been. She should have... No, that wasn't the point. She couldn't keep getting caught up in what she should have done in the past. She just had to keep going forward now. That was all she could do. Focus, Charlie. How else was she supposed to find them? She knew there had to be a group of them looking for Miles that weren't trying to kill him or catch him. She just had to find them first. Who would be on Miles' side for sure other than Hobie? Wait. Margot. Margot would be on Miles' side. She'd already helped him once. Charlie certainly wasn't supposed to know that. But she did, and she could use the knowledge to her advantage. Her spider drone could really come in handy, even against the person who had helped her program it. Charlie just had to find her. She could do that. Margot, Margot, wait! Margot was about to step through a portal when Charlie finally made up her mind and caught up to her. She turned back, and Charlie switched her gait with her crutches back to her regular one, now that she knew she had Margot's attention. "Where are you going?" Margot's face shifted from wary to downright cagey right away. "Just going home. You should too. It's been a long day for all of us." Charlie wasn't going to acknowledge that with a response. They both knew it was bullshit. Even if it had been a long day, it was about to get even longer. "You're going to go help Miles, aren't you?" Margot's face shut down at that, and the rest of her body language started closing off. That wasn't a good sign. Charlie cursed herself for coming off so accusing. That wasn't what she meant to do. Apparently, she wasn't good at talking to Margot under any circumstances, even now when it really mattered. Wait, just... Charlie scrambled forward a little bit, desperately hoping that Margot wouldn't step through that portal and leave her in the dust, taking with her Charlie's chance to take back the bad things she'd done before she got to explain. "Just, I want to come with you." Margot stepped forward, away from the portal, and Charlie let out a small breath of relief. She squared her shoulders as much as she could with her crutches, and she said it again. "Take me with you. I want to help." Why? He didn't get what he expected out of this place, and I don't think I did either. He's right. At least, he might be. He deserves the chance to try. Charlie's voice got a little smaller. "I wish I'd had the chance to try." Margot still looked conflicted, glancing between Charlie and the portal. Charlie took her mask off to try to show something, anything, to convince Margot that she was telling the truth, that she needed to do this. Please? Charlie followed Margot as they walked up to the group gathered to help Miles, some of which Charlie knew, and some she didn't. Hobie was there, which really didn't surprise her at all. Peter B. Parker was there, which did kind of surprise her, but she'd never really talked to him before anyway. Gwen took a step forward. "What are you doing here?" It was directed toward Charlie, and it wasn't accusing, but it wasn't warm either. Charlie didn't look at her when she responded, locking eyes with Hobie instead. "I trusted my gut." The end.
I've done too much and not enough. I'm trying to put you above. I cannot tell if I'm in love or whose regard I'm thinking of. Garden in your brain and let the roots absorb the pain.
Podficker's note. Hi, Pez. I initially asked permission to podfic this for you over a year ago. It has been on my list since then, and as you know, I started this even in the summer and have finally got it done. I adore this fic. I'm so glad you introduced me to the character, and I really hope that you enjoy listening to this podfic. Anyone else who listens, please feel free to leave a kudos or comment to let me know if you liked it. And please don't forget to leave kudos and comments on the author's work as well. Thanks for listening.